I don't know it.
Hey. IDK with Thaddeus J and my roommate Dyke.
Hello.
What's going on?
Nothing. Thank you for having me back on the program.
Well, absolutely. People like your voice, Dyke.
Oh.
It's out. It's official.
It's great.
I got the polls, the analytics.
I use it all the time.
You've been using it for a while.
I've been using it.
How long have you been using that voice?
I've been using it for four spells.
Four spells?
Yeah.
Well, what's the spell?
10 years.
Oh, is it 10 years?
Yeah.
It was not score?
No, I think a score is actually...
Four score is a ten.
A score, yeah, sorry. It was four score. Four score and no.
Wait, you've been saying spells this whole time?
Because it goes 4 score and 7 years ago.
47 years ago.
47, is that how that works?
Mm-hmm.
What about a fortnight? That's 2 weeks. I know that.
A fortnight is 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I thought it was a game.
Yeah, it was a game that was supposed to last for two weeks, and it just kept going.
Welcome to roommates teaching each other words. We just do this. Like, we learn words together. Who needs Hooked on Phonics when you have two roommates just trying to talk to each other? That's the first intelligible sentence that I think we've had.
This is a link inside our conversations at home. All we do is explain word meanings to each other.
Well, speaking of explaining word meanings, there's no good transition for that. Isaac Lanford was on the show, man.
Nice.
I'm going to be honest with you. He did a great job. Are you surprised?
No, he seems like a guy who has a lot of strong opinions about movies.
Yeah, yeah. He's a funny guy. I found out that he was actually, spoiler alert for those people listening, I found out he was on a TV show for real. One of his characters was on a TV show.
Oh.
We get into it in a little bit.
Nice.
We don't talk about it that much, but I'm like, oh, that's true? Okay. I guess we could look that up.
Yeah.
But I've always thought it was a joke because he has many different characters. He's a character actor. And Jasper T. Colbert, I guess, was literally on TV.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. Pretty funny. Last time, Zane Zadie had a comedy show. It was the first time I ever saw that character do like a full bit as a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was amazing. I really enjoyed it.
He had a bit where he would throw like fake poop out at the audience. Like it was his merch. It was poop and it looked like poop.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd get hit. And my friends were like, what is this shit? Like literally, what is this? Like, and his performance was...
Was it wet?
It was dry, okay. But it looked wet.
Okay.
It looked like just new poop.
Yeah.
And he threw it out at us, and my friends that I brought to the comedy show were appalled, even by his behavior, because he was acting like he was drunk.
Yeah.
And, like, Tyson Cox had to pick him up off stage to remove him.
Oh.
That was the closer.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was very...
It's a real Gigi Allen of comedy kind of thing.
Right, so I saw him, and then I never, like, saw that character again. But then I met Isaac, and I did not associate the two, like, for the, like, longer than it should have been. It's, like, years.
So you thought it was two different people. Not like you thought it was one person who was just acting crazy one night.
Yeah, I was like, I'm glad I'm never going to see that guy again. Like, how's that one guy doing comedy?
That's funny.
And then I was like, oh, this Isaac guy is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's like a lot better than Jasper T. Colbert.
Yeah.
But then you find out that Jasper T. Colbert is actually funny.
Do you do any like actual, like I know you do some voices and stuff on podcasts, but do you have any like full characters that you've really put time into or that you really enjoyed where you're like, yeah, this is a character that wasn't just like a one-off or something?
So like, you're not talking about Rocky?
Yeah, I guess Rocky is what you do on stage and on podcasts. Yeah, I didn't know if there was like an original character maybe
that you had. So in high school, I had a character named Papa Midnight. And yes, that was named by white people. I got yes and like, hey, is Papa Midnight a good idea? Like, yeah, you should do it. It's like, all right, cool. So I'm in this high school and I had a big microphone.
Yeah.
And I go interview people on the street. And I want to say slappy pappy wah wah. Yeah. I want to do that. But it was like, it was that same spirit. Like, ha! What is your favorite color? It was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think the weather is? And they're like, what do you mean what the weather is? What is the temperature today? And then they would say it. And I would be like, oh, 68? Doot, 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 doot. And I'd dance around them. And this is all being filmed. And then I'd be like, and I might hit them with a microphone. And then, like, it was just crazy. It was really inspired by Dave Chappelle at the time. Dave Chappelle was really popular.
Yeah, he was popular back then.
Yeah. But that was Papa Midnight. I haven't used him in a long time.
Well, maybe it's time to bring him back.
What is the temperature? I don't know. I don't even know what that voice was. I don't know what I was doing, but I was just letting loose. And that's what Jasper T. Colbert does and Isaac does.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I think Isaac is, I don't know, you know, it's like, he's what? He's in his 40s, right? So it's like, I feel like he's like kind of around that perfect age of like, grew up with movies and stuff where like to have like really strong opinions about, you know, old school films. And then you guys watched
A Fish Called Wanda.
Fish Called Wanda, right? Which I realized I hadn't seen. Sometimes you like watch a movie and you're like, yeah, I know that movie.
Right.
And then you realize it's been so long that like you like, man, I remember three parts of that movie. Like I remember weird parts of that movie. Doesn't someone eat a goldfish or try to eat a goldfish?
Oh yeah.
I remember that was very disturbing to me as a child.
Man, that like I think that pulls out a lot of people. I think if they left that scene out, people would like the movie more.
I remember that scene really disturbed me the first time I watched it. I remember thinking it was the first. I was a little kid and I remember thinking it was weird because there's a lot of like there's a whole subplot about trying to trick someone into cheating. And I just remember being like, oh, that's weird. Like the good guys, quote unquote, of this movie, even though they're all kind of bad guys, which I also, I guess as a kid, I never really seen a movie where there wasn't really, there's protagonists, but no one's really a good guy in that movie. Everyone's kind of a,
there's zero good guys.
Everyone's kind of a shitbird in that movie. But I remember just being weird that like the good guys were trying to cheat, you know, I just thought that was a weird concept being young.
Yeah.
And then I remember that John Cleese kind of like shits on his own family. Like he makes fun of his daughter being stupid.
Yeah. Like he leaves his family. Like spoiler.
Yeah. Oh man.
He leaves his family at the end.
You just ruined this movie for someone who wanted to watch it in 2021.
Oh gosh. If you didn't have enough time. You
didn't have enough time to watch it.
No, he leaves his family at the end for Jamie Lee Curtis. And it was crazy.
I remember, those are my takeaways. But other than that, I think I watched the trailer or something because I was supposed to be on this episode. And then you asked me not to be because you were like, Isaac's coming. You're like, he's a better guest.
Yeah, that's not what happened.
But I just remembered I had not watched it since back in the day. And then I rewatched the trailer and I was like, oh yeah, like I guess I forgot everything that was actually about the movie. I just remembered it was kind of like a blackmail heist type situation, right? Is that how they're trying to blackmail someone?
Yeah.
Into getting some sort of money.
Yep. It's just a money hungry comedy.
Yeah.
With John Cleese. And it's just a lot of fun. And I think I did it with the right person because Isaac, he had not seen the movie. So we watched it together.
Mm.
And so that was kind of like a new thing that I'm trying to do. So, yeah. You guys will enjoy this. It's going to be really fun. Isaac Lanford and I, we get silly in the podcast. So enjoy. I don't know it. Hey. I want to do it again. Welcome to IDK It. And we are here in the studio right now with a very special guest, Isaac Lanford.
Hey, am I a special guest or is everybody a very special guest?
I don't usually say special guest, but this is at the very beginning.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So feel special.
I do.
Now you do. All right. Well, let's go with the first question. Were you born in Indianapolis? Did you?
No, I'm from Grant County, Indiana, which is like about an hour and a half or so north of here.
Okay.
It's where the actor James Dean is from.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's about the only discernible thing about it that someone might have heard of.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Right now we're going to go to a quick commercial break.
Oh.
Hi. Has your husband ran away with another woman who's a little bit more attractive than you, a little bit more fun, a little bit more dangerous, adventurous, and left you and your kid stuck at home alone? Well, we have something for you, a bounty hunter that's going to find your husband and bring him back home.
If there's one thing that I can't stand, it's a man abandoning his responsibilities. I'm coming for you. You left him alone. You hurt them. You're gonna pay. I will follow you to whatever exotic locations that you've run away to, and I will bring you home, and I will get paid to do it.
Now, this bounty hunter has a 4-year degree in searching different locations. He is trained not to fully hurt your husband. Bounty hunter, what are you going to do to him when you find him?
Well, I have tasers, and tasers are a part of this, and I will use a taser. I will kick in a door. I'm not legally allowed to kick in a door, but I will knock on the door vigorously, and I will ask questions. No one's obligated to answer these questions, but I will ask them, and I get leads, and then those leads turn into information, and that information then leads me to the score.
Please call our law offices, Bounty Hunter Incorporated, for husbands. Thank you.
Only husbands.
And we're back. Thank you so much, Isaac. So you said you are from Grant County, where Dean?
Yep, James Dean.
James Dean.
Where Cool was born, is what they say.
Where Mr. Cool was born?
Cool. Just Cool itself. Where Cool was born. Fairmount, Indiana.
Cool was born.
Yep.
That is awesome. All right, guys, stay tuned. We're just going to go right to a quick commercial break. We'll be back.
Hi. Are you a lawyer who's lost your bounty hunter after he went to an exotic location trying to bring back a husband and father? If so, we can help.
Yes, I am a new bounty hunter, and I've been doing this for a long time. Some of these bounty hunters, they don't know what they're doing. They get lost. Well, I could help you find that bounty hunter. If you're looking for your husband, that's not me. I'm going to find your husband's bounty hunter.
Yes, let's be clear. It's another company that will find the husband. We're only responsible for bringing back the bounty hunter himself. We know what it's like to lose a bounty hunter, and we don't wish that on anyone.
And again, if I do find the husband, I could give a call, but I cannot bring him back legally. I could say where he was at. I can't even take a picture. But we will find that bounty hunter. Usually, the bounty hunter's dead, and you still have to pay both fees. But we will find that bounty hunter.
And if we don't, for some reason, find that bounty hunter, well, we've got our own bounty hunter, so maybe we could work something out. Some sort of deal. I don't know.
Again, it is possible that I might not find that bounty hunter because of him being deceased, but we're going to do our best.
So please visit us at bountyhunterhunters.gov.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This is Thaddeus McKee, and you guys know what it is. We are back, and we are going straight right into another commercial break.
Oh.
your pubic area lifestyle. It's time to throw away those old razors. It's time to do something different. Now we have a new pubic area designer, and it's called Pubic Area Designer. It's the best pubic shaver out in the business right now. You can design swooshes above your swoosh. You can even do a check mark. It's kind of like a swoosh, but not exactly like a swoosh. You can even do the pound sign. You get it? Listen, it's time to stop being a nerd.
And we're back.
Oh, yeah. A lot of sponsors for this show. Good job.
You know what? You gotta suffice the sponsors. They are the beast. They are the beast of this engine. This is why we can do our thing.
It's true. Yeah. You gotta keep those sponsors happy. And you also have to keep your balls shaved. I'm just going to assume that was one of the sponsors was something to shave your balls.
Yeah, it was. Okay. It was. We dropped Ladyscape. their verbiage wasn't up to par to the actual podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to go into the ball trimmer.
Yeah.
Right.
Be a good ball trimmer.
Yes, absolutely. So, Isaac, for real, man, you have been in the Indianapolis comedy scene for how long?
Specifically, like, actually in Indianapolis since the tail end of 2010. But when I started doing stand-up in 2007, I lived in Muncie, Indiana, and I was making, like, the trips down for the open mics in Indy and stuff. So I've been in the Indianapolis comedy scene since 2007. I was in New York for a couple of years in the middle of that, and then, yeah, been here for about a decade.
Okay, wow. Okay, so how long have you been doing it total then, do you know?
I started stand-up specifically. It's always like a weird... I don't know how to answer the question because I started doing character work. My first character, Jasper T. Colbert, I started doing in 2001.
Okay.
And I was doing that, doing character stuff, doing sketch stuff, live, like a mock band, like alt comedy stuff from 2001. And then in 2006, I started doing stand-up as the character. And within a year, then I started doing stand-up as myself as well. And, of course, I still do all the other stuff. Stand-up specifically, 2007, but I've been performing, creating comedy since 2001.
That is awesome. Now, is it true that you were on Last Comic Standing?
Yeah, I was. More specifically, Jasper was on Last Comic Standing.
Yeah.
But did it twice, yeah. Made it on television a couple of times.
So I've heard that.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, I didn't know if that was, like, true until now. Like, I've always wondered, is this a myth? And I was looking it up in bed, like, I was like, all right, he's going to come over. I should probably know this. And then I was, like, trying to look for clips. Very hard to find clips.
Yeah.
Because it was NBC, correct?
Yep, yeah.
And so I was like, I believe he was, because the first time I saw you, I wasn't doing comedy yet. I was wanting to get into it, and you threw shit on me.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, me and my friends, we went to Morty's, and then you started throwing shit.
Yep.
That was your closer.
Yep.
Oh, a spoiler. Yeah. You still do that?
I haven't done that bit in a long time because it takes a while to prep the shit.
Okay, yeah.
And so it's a lot of effort. So I haven't done that in a while. Yeah, it's been a minute.
Whoa, bring the shit back. 2022, bring back number two. I just remember because, like, we didn't know. Like, we thought that was you. Like... And I didn't see you for, like, a year afterwards. Yeah. And I think I saw you, and I didn't even connect you guys together until you did that character. I'm like, wait, I've seen this guy before. So, like, you get really deep into the characters.
Yeah.
And, like is that, like, explain that process.
Well, for me, when I got into doing comedy, came from such, like, an outside perspective that, doing character, like I was a huge Andy Kaufman fan.
Okay.
And so that was really, I always wanted to do sketch and all that stuff, but I didn't know how to do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I figured out I could do is I could put on a wig and whatever, and I could improvise. And so I would just, like, do a character and go places.
Okay.
And there'd be a lot of people who, like, I mean, people could tell it wasn't a real guy, but they enjoyed the facade of it. And like, so when I started doing it, people would like invite me to parties. And so I just show up as the character and just like mingle.
No way.
As entertainment for their parties. Yeah.
Did people know who you were?
They didn't know who I was specifically. So they, like I said, it's like, you know, you could tell it's not a real person, but when you have no frame of reference who it is otherwise, you know, you just kind of let it go and let your suspension of disbelief, you know?
Oh my gosh. I'm imagining you going as Jasper. Did you get into any fights with this?
Surprisingly, Jasper never had too many problems. When I started doing stand up, there were some times that people wanted to fight.
Right. But
just because I'd say shit and then like, I don't know. People are weird. I did this, this benefit, which I mean, I know this is tasteless, but I was doing this. It was like one of those like Legion fish fry things that they'll book comedy at sometimes, you mm-hmm. know? So you're in like this little private club thing mm-hmm. with a bunch of rednecks. And I did a joke. It was a benefit for Riley's Children's Hospital. And as Jasper, I said this joke where I said something like, oh, you know, I'm here to for the kids, but you know, I got invited to do a benefit for breast cancer once. And I said, fuck that. I'm not doing that. I hate breast cancer. It's stealing America's titties. Why would I do a benefit for that? And then this dude afterwards was furious because his mom had died of breast cancer.
Yeah. Okay.
And he like, he wanted to fight about
it. He took it personally.
Yeah. He wanted to fight about it. And luckily I had to change clothes.
But so, you're like, I'm saying I hate it. We're on the same side.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're just mad that somebody made a joke in general mm-hmm. with that subject involved, I mean, I think that's fucking stupid, but whatever. Like I said, I had already changed clothes. So he actually came outside and asked me where Jasper was
because
he was going to kick his ass. And I like Bugs Bunny with like a fucking newspaper, like pointed off to the side and he went running.
He's like, I'm going to find him. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah.
That is, I would like to know. And this is a terrible idea. I know as I'm saying this, but what everybody's trigger point is in a show. And so if everybody could just like write down like, hey, what like you don't want to be mentioned.
Yep.
And then you have, you know, maybe 40 people and then you mention every single one of those things and then just see as a social experiment how everybody acts as a whole.
Well, it's fucked up because like, I think fundamentally, like, I don't want to go out and, like,
piss people off.
But at the same time, you can't avoid everybody's triggers.
No.
And it's tough because, you know, people carry shit around with them and they go into scenarios with that stuff on their back and, you know, and sometimes they're offended and they, like, are upset and want to talk about it and, like, be apologized to and whatever. But it's, in some scenarios, you're like, I don't really think that. I didn't like that's on you. Like you got baggage,
right.
You know, I'm sorry that what I said hit on it, you know, but that you got, I think that's on you to figure out how to cope with.
Maybe that's the thing. Comics need to appoint people to therapy. Like, hey, like we discovered something together. Like I think, I don't know, like people do have their like baggage that they go with and like, you just have to expect at a comedy show, someone's going to say something that you might disagree with because it's a big world, but man, I'm just really trying to think. Like I've messed up and said some bad things before, and it's usually when I was like younger in comedy. Like,
oh yeah,
I think the first thing I said, I made a joke about suicide, and it was at an open mic. And so after the show, Tyson Cox came up to me. He's like, "Hey, you see those grandparents over there?" I'm like, "Yeah, they just lost their daughter. I mean, their granddaughter to suicide."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh." That would have been nice to know. It's like, I didn't want to bum anybody out before the show. I was like, well, I guess I bummed them out. Like, they went and shook everybody else's hands and said, good job. They didn't really talk to me.
Yeah. And, you know, that shit's hard because when I started doing comedy, I said and did a lot of shit that I would not do now.
You're right.
Because I, you know, I was young and I was like bullheaded. And I was also came from like the punk rock scene. And so like shock value and all this stuff. And a lot of stuff that I won't defend now. But I mean, I said the N-word on stage. Yeah. Like, I mean, I did a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was pushing boundaries. You know what I mean? And like stuff that I know better now.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm still willing to go those places. Like I did a bit on An Evening with the Authors where I was doing my character Bobby in what, you know, I kind of keep like a linear story with the character.
Mm-hmm.
So each time he appears, it's a continuation of the last time he was there. And I did a thing where he found a letter that was like basically telling him that he had cancer on one of the bits.
Yeah.
And so the next time I did him, I kept talking about wanting to do it. I wanted to have him come back having gone through chemo and bald and like, the joke to it is, cause he's like the sad sack character. The joke is that during cancer is the nicest anyone's ever been to him. And when he's there that night, he finds out it's in remission and he's devastated because he wants like, and I really took me a year to get the courage to do the act. And because I was worried, I didn't want to hurt anybody.
Right.
But at the same time, like, I've lost a ton of fucking people to cancer.
Yeah.
You know, the week, I think it was the week that I did the act, my sister-in-law found out she had cancer.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I mean, if somebody else, if it's a sensitive subject and it hurts them, then I'm sorry. But I have every right to be able to internalize and express and put back out the things from my life too. And I just tried to write a bit that I thought somebody with cancer could laugh at.
Yeah.
You know, and that, but that's a much more mature.
So you were able to like, you're able to kind of connect and have even more empathy at the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's different than, you know, going out and just saying a bunch of shock words to get responses out of people. Right. You know? It could still hurt people though. But I took a calculated approach. I was like, if it does, then I'm sorry for them, but I have every right to do this.
Right. Like that definitely does take balls to stick true to the bit. And it's like, you're being an artist in that moment. That's wild.
Yep.
So about the movie.
Yep.
A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
I watched it. And
oh, let's say at the same time, whether we liked it or not.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Liked
yes,
it.
Yes. Yes.
I figured you would.
Yeah.
I think like after watching it, I was like, oh, he's definitely, this is up his alley.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because this movie, when I was a kid, my mom used to rent it a lot and I never watched it, which I don't know that I would have enjoyed it as a child, but my whole life I confused that movie with the movie Mermaids starring Cher.
Okay. Yeah.
So in my child brain, those movies like combined into the same thing.
Right. And
so
I don't want to see.
And so when I would hear it was like a classic comedy, as I was getting hard, I was like, really? Really?
No way.
Okay. All right. But it'd been on my list. And when you sent me the list of movies, like it was the only one on the list I hadn't seen. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, perfect excuse now. Let's jump in and watch.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So you got into it. You liked it. Real quick, we're going to call our friend Donnie.
Oh, okay.
Who is a cinephile. And we want to hear what he has to say about it real quick. Because he knows a lot about movies.
Okay, sounds great. We need an expert in here.
Yeah, it's great to have an expert when you have a movie podcast. It makes me feel more comfortable.
For sure.
Donnie here.
Hey, Donnie, how's it going?
Hey, listen. You know, hey, your fish called Wanda, baby. Starring Cary Grant and Jamie Lee Schwartz, baby. Hey.
Wait,
hey, listen, baby.
Did you say Jamie Lee Schwartz?
Yeah, baby.
No, yeah, it's listen, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, yeah, right, baby. Yeah, for sure, baby.
Hey, you're on the line with Isaac Lanford. I want to tell you that right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's not
hello, baby. Hello, baby.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm on speaker, baby. I'm doing all right, baby. How you doing, baby? I'm at the radio store, baby, you know.
Are you working again? You
know, I'm busy watching True Lies, baby.
True Lies?
You know, so I'm a little distracted, but I'm here, you know. I'm on my cellular phone. Can you hear me, baby?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yep.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Excellent, baby. I'm just not sure, baby. So, anyway. Yeah, you know, good film. You know, I don't know. To be honest, though, you know, from eating live fish to, you know, dying dogs, you know, shooting the tails off cats. I mean, what's next? You know, juggling turtles. I mean, you know, it's brutal. I mean, I jest around, you know, but wow, baby, brutal, baby. I mean, that Roger Rabbit scene, you know, they actually had some technical difficulties with that steamroller, baby. They had a couple of problems with the legal issue too. And several of the crew, you know, several of the crew did get caught in that cement, you know, and I mean, it was a situation, baby, you know. Several near casualties, baby.
Now, how did you find this out? Is this a Donnie fact that
You know, Freddie saved about 32 people.
Wait, Freddie, your friend Freddie was on the set.
He was on the set. He was on the set. He saw it happening. He saved about 32 people. Listen, It was a very big situation. And, you know, Bob Zemeckis and the producers of Roger Rabbit, baby, they got into a very, very, very long, very dark back and forth battle with John Cleese and Crichton. And boy, did it get ugly, baby, over that steamroller scene. Because, listen, I mean, they had both wanted that scene in their movie. Both sides were very upset, baby. Oh. And, you know, yeah, there should only be one movie, they felt, in 1988 where a guy freaking survived a steamroller attack, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the odds? What are the odds, baby?
I guess I never matched those two movies together.
No, never would have. No, I never really would have put those together, I have to say.
It was just a big legal issue. You know, there's a documentary made about it. It was very rare. It was a pretty intense documentary. Actually, you should check it out. Yeah, it's called This Town Isn't Big Enough for the Two Steamrollers. You get a two chance. I'm telling you, baby.
That is so close to clever.
It's a Len Burns, documentary. Ken Burns' brother. They were trying to save on cost.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm telling you, baby, a rare gem, baby. It's a rare gem, baby.
All right, I'll check that out. It's a Len Burns. His brother did that.
Ken Burns' brother.
Ken Burns. Okay.
He's a lesser known.
So Len Burns, who is Ken Burns' brother. Okay.
Absolutely, baby. Listen, my customers, they just want me to leave me alone. One of them wanted to know if Cobra was any good, baby. Any good? Cobra.
I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
I've never seen Cobra.
Happens to be Stallone's finest work, baby. I mean, 1986, baby, directed by George freaking Cosmatos, baby. You know, freaking 80s masterpiece, baby. Listen, baby, Steven Spielberg's got nothing on this movie, baby. I mean, hey, listen, they asked me if it's any good, so, you know, my heart breaks, baby. Anyway.
So are you suggesting that to the fans to watch that?
Oh, my goodness, baby. That is like the Bible of movies, baby. It's like the Genesis poem, baby.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, I don't want to get too deep, baby, but hey, you go ahead, baby.
Yeah, sorry, you were about to interrupt again.
Well, hey, you know, I just had a little bit of a meaty story about Freddie gave me, so, you know, it's a good one. I'll just let you know real quick.
Go ahead.
My pal Freddie, okay, so he was doing what he does best. Mm-hmm. You know, hiding in the bushes with binoculars, baby. You know what he does? He's a people watcher, baby. He's a people watcher.
I did not know that.
So, you know, he said Jamie Lee Schwartz, you know, it turns out she had a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
She had a stalker in this movie.
Sounds
creepy
like
thing
it.
Happening on set where Jamie Lee Schwartz's brother, I believe, would show up and he's wearing a jumpsuit. He's wearing a weird mask. He's carrying a big knife. I mean, he was kind of stalking her, baby. She has family issues, baby, according to Freddie. It was a situation, slight family issues, baby. I'm telling you how I see it, baby. I mean, Freddie, you know. Anyway, that was a little bit of a creepy
creepy fact. There.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, last question for you, buddy. I have one last question for you before we let you go. And thanks for sharing those facts. I'll be looking those up and see how close they are. No offense. Have you ever had to steal or been a part of a diamond heist yourself?
Hey, you know, I can't kiss and tell, baby, but you know, the Elizabeth Garner Museum, you know, the paintings, baby. I got some of those paintings, baby.
What paintings?
I'm sorry, I don't want to confess right here, but you know what I mean, baby. Hey, listen.
Yeah,
Donnie is a fan of the arts.
Okay? Yeah,
you know what I mean. So, you know, I got some paintings around. You know what I mean.
All right. Well, we'll post some of those paintings after this podcast gets out. Okay.
Absolutely.
Will you be able to show some of these to us?
Hey, you know, why not? But it was very inspiring. That the movie, you know. It makes me want to go back and, you know, do it again.
Absolutely.
It was fun. It romanticized it. You know what I mean, baby?
Absolutely.
Jamie Lee Schwartz, she's the best, you know?
Right, Curtis. Hey, all right. Listen, we are going to wrap that up with you, Donnie. We're going to call you back another time. Okay? It was good talking to you. We won't turn you in for those paintings either.
Hey, thank you, baby.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate that.
All right, bye, Donnie.
So much.
I love you.
Bye, Donnie. Right,
okay. Hey, say the odds. All right, baby.
And that was Donnie.
For a second, I thought that he thought this was Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, that was what I thought, too. He gets some of the facts a little bit messed up, but apparently there's a Lynn Burns documentary that we're going to have to watch.
Yeah, town's not big enough for two steamrollers.
That's a great line. Mm-hmm. So you were watching this, and so what was your takeaway? You said you saw it as a kid being rented, but you never placed your eyes on it.
Yeah. So when I watched this movie, I did a free trial of Showtime to be able to watch it. That's the only place I could find it streaming.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've canceled it.
Yeah, you got to get on it.
How much is Showtime? It's like expensive, isn't it?
I think it's like $13 or something. But you know what? When I saw it come out of my account, I went, because I did it through Amazon Prime, and I went and canceled it, and it refunded me.
Because
I did it like the day it charged me.
Hey.
So, yeah, check that out. Everyone listening, if you want to watch Fish Called Wanda, get 5 days of Showtime. But I watched it in two sittings, which is pretty common for me. Like, I watch it late at night and then start falling asleep, and then I watch it the next night, you know?
Yeah.
And during the first half, I didn't remember that John Cleese had written this. So I was confused as to why John Cleese was in the role he was in, because I was like, he is not funny. Why would it be John Cleese?
Mm.
But that was in the first half. He becomes very funny when I came back and started watching. But he was the straight man, just like straight as an arrow,
right,
in the first few scenes I watched. So it did throw me off. My other takeaways were two things distracted me during this movie.
Mm-hmm.
One, Kevin Kline, who I know before this podcast is over, I'm going to call Chris Kline.
Yeah.
but Kevin Kline's voice, I was like, he sounds exactly like somebody, and I could not figure it out. And I kept thinking maybe it was like Robin Williams.
Robin Williams the whole time. I was like, oh, this is.
So I Googled it and I put in Kevin Kline sounds just like, and it populates the rest of the way Steve Martin. It's the same goddamn voice.
Oh, wow. You're right.
It is wild. And I end up finding a bunch of Reddit threads where people are talking about how those guys sound exactly the same.
So who took from who?
I don't think either. I think that if I had to guess, I bet they're from the same kind of the area, and it's just they have the same tone. And
but Robin Williams is right up there, too.
Because it was,
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, man, I feel like he was acting like, is Robin Williams acting like him? Like Kline, or does Kline act like Robin Williams?
I think Kline was doing it. I mean, his performance was so over the top that I think it's probably him more acting in a Robin Williams-esque way in this movie. Yeah. My other thing about this, and I don't want to be rude or judgmental, but the entire movie is about how everybody wants to fuck Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right.
And the whole time I'm trying to figure out if Jamie Lee Curtis is hot.
The whole time you're trying to figure out? Let me answer that for you real quick. Yes.
I mean, her body is amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is she this hot that like every man she runs into just can't help himself?
So you're saying like to that level.
Right.
Okay. We'll say this. Jamie Lee Curtis is a very beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And if you guys want to call in, if you guys have ESPE listeners and you want to call in and rank Jamie Lee Curtis and get this podcast canceled, you can. Here's the thing. I'm not going to lie. I watched it with my mom.
Okay.
And there was a part of me that I was uncomfortable because, like, I didn't know how far the sex scenes were going to go.
Yeah.
Because, like, it is weird watching a man come with your mom right beside you.
Yes.
And me and my mom, we hold hands when we watch movies. And so I let go for those, like, you know, it's just a mother-son thing. But, no, it was just, like, it was weird. And, like, because, like, this is 1988 because nudity is a lot more prevalent in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like it ramped up like in the 90s and then mid 2000s and then it dropped off.
Yeah, you don't have booby movies anymore.
Right. Mainly, I think, because of the internet.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can find boobs whenever you want them.
Right. But I remember thinking, you know what? Jamie Lee Curtis, like she was in her prime.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I was doing a show outside, and there was this lady sitting by a guy with a eye patch, and she had like gray hair, and she looked like an older Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, so I guess Jamie Lee Curtis and a pirate came up to the show for no reason, and like everybody applauded, and then afterwards she tipped me money for that show. Because I called her Jamie Lee Curtis. So she was so flattered by that.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I say yes, because yeah. She remembers Jamie Lee Curtis back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And I just watched
not yogurt Jamie Lee Curtis from modern day.
Is it yogurt?
She does the like old people yogurt to help shit commercials.
I thought you were saying her body looks like yogurt. I was like, wow.
No, I'm not going.
He's
there.
Going really
no,
hard
no, no, no,
into
no, no.
Jamie Lee Curtis, and no. I don't feel comfortable about nah. that. No, she's great. No, like, what was the last movie she did? Like, the sword movie?
I don't know.
A bunch of swords. It's like
Knives Out?
Knives Out. Out.
Yeah.
Knives
yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
I was close. The sword movie. But yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is bad. Like, she, what other movies has she done? Like, what's her other
Trading Places. Movie?
Trading Places.
Yeah.
Was she the first original Trading Places?
Yeah, she was. Yeah, and she's nude in that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Halloween movies. That's like the big thing. And then True Lies.
Where I haven't seen those. Yeah.
I never saw True Lies, but that was like a big deal because she was like older in that movie and had like a sexy lap dance scene. And it was supposed to be a big deal because she was like too old to be Hollywood hot, but was still doing the shit. Still doing that.
Like, she's like, hey, I can still do it. Like, we're going to give you this part. Like, what about the, no.
Yeah.
So, like, she really got used for her beauty back in that day.
Yeah.
And John Cleese must have been like, I need to work with her.
Yeah, it's, well, you know what, I think John Cleese wrote himself a nude scene in there because he was, like, fucking fit.
Yeah, he did get naked.
I would not have expected him to be in that kind of shape. Like, he looked good.
Right, right. I actually went back and I was watching like interviews like about John Cleese like talking about this movie, and apparently people were laughing so hard. Like, this movie like did numbers. It's like ranked right now, like it was ranked at like 39th like best films in England.
Oh, or whatnot. Wow. Yeah.
So like it did a number, and I guess there's like a sequel as well.
Oh, really?
Called Fierce People.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I found that out today. I'm like, I'm kind of excited to see. Maybe it's Fierce Creatures. I'm going to look that up real quick.
Interesting. The movie is definitely, it's neat. The first thing I realized when watching it is that it was a heist movie where they pull off the heist in like the first few minutes.
Right.
So it's not about the planning of the heist and the heist
itself.
Which is
cool, yeah.
It's all the aftermath.
So it got the BAFTA award, okay. And the sequel is called Fierce Creatures, a spiritual sequel, Fierce Creatures. Didn't do as well as A Fish Called Wanda, but it still did well, and it has all the same people in it.
Really? I gotta see this.
Exactly. Like, it's like one of those things like, oh, I can't wait till the sequel. Wait, it's out. It came out in 1989 or something. But, so basically, I was watching this interview, and I found out this movie was so funny for its time. Someone died in the showing.
Oh.
So in theaters, someone was laughing so hard they had a heart attack.
Damn.
And died.
Damn.
And that's, like, as a comic, we take it as, that's good.
Yeah, like, I mean.
It's hard not, it's bad that this guy died on air, I'll say that. But like, if you ever like killed someone in a stand up because you were making them laugh so hard, like, is that what? Well, that's bragging rights, right?
I mean, that's, you raised their heart rate to a point that it exploded. You did that. Like, I mean,
yeah, when you put it that way, I mean, it's great. I mean, okay, it's bad, but like, I would mention it. And oh, I'll just probably like be acting like, man, guys, I'm so bummed.
Every intro when you come on stage. Yeah.
I don't know if I could do this.
If you have a weak heart, you might want to leave the room before this next performer comes and say, he's a certified killer.
Yeah, he kills on stage. But like, if your movie kills someone, I feel like there should be an award for that. But I wouldn't want to see that like be a trend.
No, I think just the weight on your soul for the rest of your days is right. The award you get for that.
John Cleese doesn't seem too bothered.
No, I don't. John Cleese doesn't seem like he gets bothered by a lot of things.
He said like he had to announce it to his friend, Mr. Kevin Klein, and like he's like, hey, I guess someone died during our movie because they were laughing too hard. And Kevin Klein was like, which scene was it?
Oh, yeah. Kevin Klein is fucking brilliant in this movie.
Yeah.
He is so over. The sex scene that you're talking about is like so fucking over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, where like he's just crossing his eyes. Like that's when me and my mom stopped holding hands. I was like, hey, we shouldn't hold hands anymore. Like, I guess I am 33. This is inappropriate.
Did Kevin Klein get nominated for this movie for an Academy Award?
So many people got nominated.
Did they? Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Klein did, John Cleese did. I don't know if it won any awards.
Michael Palin's fucking great in this movie too. They're all great in this movie.
Yeah, the stuttering.
Yeah.
Man, like he plays that so well. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I was like, cause like I thought the acting was going to be subpar because it was 1988. But no, like the acting is actually really good. Like you have your little cliche things that would be a little bit more hacky now.
Yeah.
But like at that time it was not hack.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny. Like I guess my favorite scene in the movie was the Kevin Klein part where he walks out. Like they're about to, Jamie Lee Curtis and John Cleese are about to hook up, and Kevin Klein is in the back behind the sheets, and John Cleese's wife walks in and catches them, and then Kevin Klein just comes out and is like, "Hey, I'm going to take care of this."
Yeah,
because his whole character the whole time is like being offended by being called stupid, and like he very much is so.
Not unless you're congenitally insane or irretrievably stupid, no.
Don't call me stupid.
Mm-hmm. And just creates this whole scene that just like blew my mind where I'm like, I was like seriously crying with tears coming out of my eyes because I thought that was so funny. You know what part
yeah.
I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I think my favorite part was there's a scene where Jamie Lee Curtis is like supposed to be taking a shower.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Klein's talking to her, but they're supposed to be brother and sister. So they're having a conversation. Then they'll shout lines out to where Michael Palin hears that conversation as opposed. And it's just so funny. The play between the two conversations is great. And then him pursuing Michael Palin, like he is in love with him.
Yeah. Just to like throw him off. Like, hey, me and my sister are not screwing each other. I'm actually gay and in love with you.
Yeah. It's so good. This movie is so, the only thing about this movie that is absolutely terrible is the sound effects.
Oh.
The guns sound so meow, stupid.
Meow. Yeah, like a Western. Like hey, can we just rip off any Western sound effects? Yeah, you could have them. Thank you, MGM. Yeah.
I'm sure that they spent their budget in other areas, you know, and didn't think it was necessary for a comedy.
Right. Oh, gosh. I did notice that a little bit. Like, these guns are crazy. Oh man, in that gun scene where they're about to fight, like put your gun down and fight like a man. Okay,
all right.
Like that was perfect. I would watch it again. Like I would suggest a lot. Like this is probably my favorite movie that I've watched so far in my little journey.
Yeah,
it really is. I would suggest a lot of people to watch it. It was really situational humor, and they wrote it to a T. To where it like you just understand it. It's like perfect comedy. And I feel like a lot of movies have tried to do the same type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I really got an Austin Powers feel for this movie. Did you?
Oh, see, I wouldn't have thought of Austin Powers, but the movie that I thought of the entire time was There's Something About Mary.
I haven't seen that yet. That's one of the ones that I'm about to see.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling that this movie inspired There's Something About Mary.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's no heist or anything. Like, the storyline's completely different.
No spoilers.
Yeah. I just, but I mean, the title of the movie, it's the same sort of thing where it's like all the characters are obsessed with this one woman.
Okay.
And all trying to win her.
All right. Okay.
And I could be wrong, but I would think that A Fish Called Wanda was a heavy influence on their conceiving of There's Something About Mary.
Okay. All right.
I love that movie, by the way.
So, yeah, that's actually coming up here pretty soon. I got to figure out who to do that with. You guys will find out here soon. actually, so I think with Austin Powers, I feel like Austin Powers played more of the Kevin Kline character in the sense of kind of being dumb a little bit, like not full Kevin Kline.
Yeah.
But like I'll stay, but sir, you're at 8. I suggest you hit like during the poker scene.
Yeah.
And then even the steamroll scene.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that was like a heavy nod, like move out of the way. No.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't think about that, a steamroller scene in that movie, too.
Yeah.
Okay. This town's not big enough for 3 steamrollers now.
Yeah, this town's not big enough for 3 steamrollers. That's Lynn Burns' next documentary.
This movie's interesting, though, because it's got that dry British flavor, kind of. And then it gets, I mean, you're talking about John Cleese here, though. Mm-hmm. It gets so ridiculous at times. The whole Michael Palin thing with trying to take out the woman and the hurting the animals that he loves so much. And even the fact the title of the movie is completely misleading to what the movie is about.
Right. I was actually thinking about this just recently. I'm like, well, why did they call it A Fish Called Wanda? Do you have any
ideas? I have no clue.
Yeah. So
I don't think you get away with that nowadays or even in an American market period, that you couldn't be so obscure with your thing and expect people to actually go out and see it.
Hmm. Wait, I think a lot of our movies are obscure.
You think?
Even in Inception? I think every movie that I could think of right now, like, you don't know what it is until...
Well, I don't think you can necessarily compare to like... psychological like dramas when you're talking about trying to sell a heist comedy.
Okay. Oh yeah, because they were quoting Nietzsche a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna really think about that, the way movies are named. The thing that I got from this is A Fish Called Wanda. Check this out. Here's my theory. Wanda, Jamie Lee Curtis, is actually the fish, and she's actually the bait, and Kevin Kline at one point actually eats the bait in front of his
false love pursuit.
Right, false pursuit. So he eat at that point when he's eating the bait. That's what it's all about. I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it, I mean, obviously, like, straightforward, there's the fish named Wanda in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they just felt like that represented that, like, everyone's obsession with her.
Yeah.
That he had named the movie after him, having named his fish after Wanda.
Right.
I don't know. I'm sure that it's been discussed. I bet that's something that's Googleable.
Yeah. We'll be able to Google that. All right, we will be right back after this commercial break. Hi, you may have been tricked into buying a bounty hunter for Bounty Hunters of Husbands Incorporated. Let me just tell you, you have been tricked. You have been schemed. And we are here to help. Here at our law offices, we want to get your money back. And we are going to find those bounty hunters that have scammed your life.
My brother and I are not lawyers. Hell, we're not even actually brothers. But we've watched a lot of movies, and we think we could do this. So that's why we opened this firm. There's a whole market open there, and we decided to fill that void by hunting down the lawyers that sell you bounty hunters to recover your bounty hunters who have gone off to recover husbands and fathers that have abandoned their families. It's niche, we understand that, but if that applies to you, then we're here for you.
Now, we understand that this only covers a small market of people, but we are here to help. And let me introduce you to Karen, who we've helped in the past. Karen?
I did not hire them. I don't even know what this is.
You're not bounty hunters, but you're looking for bounty hunters that look for bounty hunters. This is very confusing. I don't understand who would be your market for this.
Karen has been confused. And that's okay, because this is a confusing process. We have people here to help and support and stay at your house. We also do some free cleaning. We'll go through your papers, and with a small fee, we'll help you get your life back.
It should be clear that when my brother says we have people, he means it's the two of us. And yes, we would like to stay at your house. That's actually the primary goal of this. We don't really have an office set up yet, and, well, my brother and I don't really have anywhere to live. We have a lot of ambition, and we're hard workers. We could open a cleaning business. I guess now that you're saying it out loud, I think maybe we should have just opened a cleaning business.
We probably should. And if you do not have cable, please do not call.
And we're back from commercial break. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in again. Hopefully you have your answers of why it was called A Fish Called Wanda, because we're going to give you the answer right now. If you did get the answer right during the break and you wrote it down, you can message me on TikTok, preferably, and I will look at your answer and see the timestamp. And you can win $1 million.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's...
Okay.
I mean, I will not be giving $1 million, but like I'm saying, they'll still be eligible to win it some other way.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah. So what is the answer?
So this is just somebody on Reddit's best theory.
Okay.
And it pretty much falls in line with what... Because people are saying like, oh, the bait thing, like you were saying. But the other was somebody was like, well, I think that, you know, in slang, a derogatory term for a woman is fish. Oh. And they're like, but that probably isn't it, because that might not even translate, like an English person may not, that slang may not exist. Yeah. But they're saying, evidently, according to Wiktionary, that fish is also the term for an easy victim for swindling.
Ooh.
So it's very possible that it's a play on words, that there's the fish called Wanda, and that everyone thinks, although in the movie, people aren't trying to take advantage of Wanda so much. She's trying to take advantage of everybody else. So I don't know if any of that holds up. I have a feeling it's just John Cleese is a kind of a weird dude, and he named the movie after the fish.
Yeah. There is a love interest with both the fish and with the person named Wanda. That is a parallel. And then it's a hard one.
They're all trying to catch her.
They're all trying to catch her.
That's probably the closest to the play on, you know.
Right. It was weird how spoiler alert, how they fell in love at the end. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, this isn't believable. Like, oh, you left your wife. Like, we're supposed to be happy.
Yeah.
With this ending. Like, oh,
he just tried to write his wife to suck.
Yeah.
His wife just sucks.
Yeah. Like this is exactly what it was. Like, okay, I don't like my wife. And like, he had a kid too. Like,
yeah, he just abandoned his family.
Yeah. And so he's like, all right. And then now like, we're happy.
I mean, they're all shitty people.
Right.
And a movie like this though, it's fine to not think too deep about it.
Yeah, that is true.
To just watch, I mean, a guy survived getting ran over by a steamroller, you know?
That is true.
So it's like, just let some funny shit happen, and like, and then this is how the movie ends. And my question is, how do they do a sequel when at the end it did one of those, like, where are they now, like, what happened to them things?
Yeah, well, I did read it, and they picked up from everything that they said.
Okay.
So, like, they all meet up, and so...
Okay. I gotta watch this movie.
Yeah, maybe that will be our second one we do. Have you back, and we'll do a Fierce Creatures. So I got a couple more questions before we go out. We were talking about, like, that you love Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
But is he the one that inspired you to do comedy, or...?
I would say more than anything else, probably, yes. Okay. Andy Kaufman, Robin Williams were like the first big two for me.
So you grew up watching them?
Yeah, for sure.
Like favorite movies from them?
From Robin Williams, actually my favorite movie of his, is not one that you was A World According to Garp. That's my favorite one. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I mean, I, you know, as a kid watching like Hook and
Hook is the best.
And
probably my favorite Popeye movie.
Those were the like the ones Popeye. That like I was really into when I was a child.
Yes.
And then I was the right age for when Aladdin came out as mm-hmm. well, you know. And then getting older, like seeing him in the more dramatic roles, you know, like, yeah, that guy is it for me, really.
Dude. R.I.P. Robin Williams.
Yeah, man.
He was great.
Yeah, brilliant guy.
And maybe R.I.P. to Andy Kaufman. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I read every fucking money grab book that Bob Zemuda puts out about Andy Kaufman. And I think the guy's dead. I mean, he's right. dead. The last book that they put out, they teased the idea that Andy didn't have cancer, that he actually had AIDS.
Oh.
And that they said in this book, it's Bob Zemuda and I can't think of her name off the top of my head, Andy's girlfriend. They write this book together. And so Zemuda will write a chapter, then she'll write a chapter about the same time and be like, Zemuda's full of shit. This is what really happened. But it's all part of the Kaufman game, so you don't know what's real at all. But they're claiming in this book that they'd been quiet for all these years until Andy's dad died to disclose that Andy was bisexual.
Okay.
And that he had a lot of sexual encounters with male, like prostitutes and stuff, and that he contracted HIV, and that's actually what killed him. But there's no way to fucking know if this is just more bullshit to add on to the mythos of Andy or if they really are trying to tell the truth.
Would they go that deep, though?
Oh, yeah.
You think they'll
go anywhere. Deep, they'll go anywhere. Not?
Okay.
Yeah. They'll do anything.
Wow. That's crazy. I haven't read any of those books, but I feel like that's like a really interesting like thing to follow as a fan.
Yeah, I mean it's entertaining, but after a certain point, I don't know how many times I'm going to give Bob Zemuda $25 for another book that he writes about a guy that's been dead for 40 years.
Right. Anytime he needs money, he just makes up another story.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, how about this? That's awesome. Favorite heist movie, since this was a heist movie?
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of the genre, I have to say.
Yeah?
You know, like, I mean, if I'm watching TV and, like, and one of those Ocean's movies comes on, I can watch that movie. I mean, they drive fast and do stunts and, like, whatever, and everybody's handsome, you know? Right. Like, it's fine.
Right.
But that's not really for me. I like the remake of The Lady Killers that the Coen brothers did. I like that movie. And
I don't know.
I think, I mean, honestly, this might be my favorite heist movie.
Right, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, I like what you said. It starts out as, like, a heist movie, and then it's not about the heist anymore.
Yeah.
It's about how to cover everything up, and which is it's just brilliant. I guess my favorite heist movie would definitely be Ocean's 11. I feel like that's a basic answer. I definitely just watched this heist movie. It's called Now You See Me. Mm-hmm. They use magic and trickery, which it was weird. After you see the ending, like I watched it one time, I forgot the ending. I watched it again just a couple weeks ago. I'm like, wait, this is the ending? Like, this is crazy. And I realized why Dan Harmon doesn't like heist movies, because it's so easy just to write like, oh, this is actually what happened.
Yeah.
And like, you could keep everybody surprised, like, oh, I never saw it coming. Yeah, because you just wrote something, you wrote a whole bunch of bullshit.
Right. He's like, there was no way to see it coming.
Yeah, there's no way. Yeah.
That stuff does, but like, I'm not a big fan of action movies or anything. I get it. You know, they're popcorn movies. It's fine. It's entertainment. But in those movies, it's like, I feel like I always know what's going to happen, and the cars driving fast doesn't do anything for me.
Right. I'm tired of chasing, so I'll just say that right now.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stand long. That's probably why I've never seen any of the Fast and Furious.
I watched the first one and fast forward, and I would like stop when there'd be like, I like kung fu movies. I like physical combat action. I don't care about guns.
Yeah.
And I did like the first Expendables movie. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, I don't even remember that
one. And then I watched the sequels in fast forward, like got to like fight scenes and just whatever, you know.
Well, there's choreography with it, and there's something to be said about that. But
Snatch is a heist movie. right?
Who's in Snatch?
Snatch is Brad Pitt's in it, and I'm assuming it's been so long since I've seen it. I remember liking it though. Jason Statham is in it, I'm guessing, because it's a Guy Ritchie movie.
Is Snatch a play on words?
I mean, probably. It's probably about snatching the thing that they're. It's the one where Brad Pitt plays the bare knuckle boxer.
Okay.
It's a good movie.
It's a
must see. Yeah. I think.
Must see award.
I think. I haven't seen it. It's been, I saw that movie when it came out.
Guys, so he said must see already. And okay. If you guys do not like it, you are allowed to go on his Instagram.
Yep.
Go ahead and say that Instagram.
Isaac Lanford.
You're allowed to go on it and boo him.
Mm.
If there's zero boos, that either means.
Then you win $1 million.
Yeah. If there's zero boos, we all win $1 million. Last but not least question.
Okay.
If you were in a movie.
If I was in a movie.
If there was a biopic movie.
A biopic about me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who directs it?
Okay.
And what is it most like? What movie is it most like?
You know, I mentioned them earlier. If someone's going to direct a biopic, I want the Coen brothers to do my biopic.
A lot of people have been picking Coen brothers.
Because they're fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, they're really good. And the movie it would be most like, my dream has been to make a movie. And so if I can't make the movie, then at least when I die, somebody else can. I want it to be like Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Like Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
Yeah.
By the Coen brothers.
Yeah, Pee-wee's Big Adventure by the Coen brothers. That's what I want.
That is like a movie to see. That seems crazy. Like, that seems like people would like be tripping on that movie for sure.
Yeah, it's not going to be very factually accurate, I guess, but...
I think mine changes like with each guest.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick someone.
Okay.
Shia LaBeouf.
Okay.
I want him to be the director.
Okay.
And it's gonna be most like Honey Boy.
See, I haven't seen Honey Boy.
You haven't seen Honey Boy?
And I don't know anything about Shia. It's LaBeouf, is that how you say his name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know shit about that kid. Like he was like a Disney kid originally, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I know that then people thought he was crazy, and I don't know why, because I didn't bother watching, and then he was in that shitty Indiana Jones movie, and that's my entire knowledge of that dude.
Okay. Have you seen Holes?
No.
Okay. Holes is, I guess it holds up. He's just a good actor.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like, what I really like him in the most, but, like, I think Honey Boy, like, seeing that, I mean, he shows that he had problems there. You know what Honey Boy's about, right?
Is that the... No, I don't.
So Honey Boy is a movie that kind of explains why he was an asshole for so long.
Okay.
So it's about him, and there's a kid that plays him, and then he plays his father, and shows how the abuse, like, played out, and, like, how hard it was growing up in Hollywood. And so there's just scenes of him, like, yelling at, like, himself. And, like, they're just, he's talking about it in, like little, like, interviews about, like, how hard that was and, like, how times, like, they'd have to take breaks.
Yeah.
And then doing that, he saw through his father's eyes of, like, how hard it was to raise him in the circumstance that he was in. And, like, with his alcoholic father and, like, it's crazy. And, like, when you're watching the scenes, like, you're just, like, your eyes are just, like, wide open and you're just, like, man, like, you're silent because... You're just seeing, like, him go through it as well.
Yeah.
And basically, in the middle of the movie, like, it keeps flashing back to him being... Because he got in trouble for drunk driving several times.
Mm-hmm.
And this time, like, he's about to get, like, lose a lot of things. And he had to show that he was progressing in therapy. And the way he was able to show that he was progressing was writing this film.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
So I had no idea about any of that.
Super,
yeah, yeah.
Super meta.
Yeah, okay.
All the way through. So, I think it's not funny. It's not a funny movie, but, I think it's a must see. Must see alert.
Another must see.
I don't have a button. I'm acting like I have buttons for these and I don't.
No, just say you have a button and put it in post.
All the buttons, have been hijacked by Harder Brunch. And I guess I can't say hijacked.
What kind of buttons
Harder
are
Brunch,
they?
Harder Brunch has been here before.
Let's hear them.
Well, let's just. So I guess it's me singing.
Oh, you singing is one of the buttons.
Yeah, but hijacked the buttons with my voice. I guess this is Drunk Dial.
Okay.
Hold up.
Drunk Dial.
Okay. Talk for a while, baby. Oh, are you going to make me freestyle? Is that what's happening right now?
Oh, man. That would have been great. I wish we had one. We do. There's a little horn thing for every time. Like does I'm just doing little plugins for Hard to Run. Like for every time he tells a camp story, we play the horn.
Oh, I'm so dirty. Oh, come clean me up. So dirty. Like, of
course. I'm not even gonna explain that one. But there's a reason for that. I'm not even gonna say whose voice it was, Bridget. All right. That's for every time we have a birthday. I usually take off my shirt.
All right.
And dance.
Good for radio.
Yeah, it's very good for radio. Stevie Wonder. We call it the Black Happy Birthday song.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And those are the only important ones.
Those are the buttons.
Those are the buttons.
Love it.
This has been great having you on here, man. I really appreciate you coming by.
Yeah.
What do you got going on next?
Well, I've got June here in Indianapolis at the White Rabbit Cabaret. I've got several shows, my regular rotation of stuff, and even with the authors, the Wowie Zowie show, Burlesque Ballyhoo, Squabble, and then July 1st, and even with the authors at the Rabbit. That's my last show here in the city, and then I'm packing up.
You got too much. You got too much. You have to leave. Yeah. Is that why? Is that why you're leaving? You booked yourself crazy? Yeah. Is that what happened?
Yeah. You know, it's time for something new.
Yeah, let's talk about that real quick. Okay. What are you doing in L.A.?
Nothing yet. I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't have any. I mean, I got to figure shit out.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just going.
You just decided it's time.
Yep.
You don't even got a job there.
No.
I'm not going to be like a father. You need a job.
No, my wife does.
Okay, your wife.
Yeah.
Like you have kids.
Yeah.
You have kids.
Yeah,
you don't have a house yet.
Nope.
Yeah, but you're going.
Yeah, I got some time.
Yeah.
Going out there here in a couple of weeks, and I'll get housing straightened out, and then we're packing up, and we're driving across the country. Jonathan Findler is helping us go. He's going to drive our U-Haul.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and we're going to take a few days, drive across the country, land, and get situated, and then I gotta start hustling.
So you don't have to answer this, but everybody's asking me, like, when we talk about, like, Isaac's leaving, because in our scene here in Indianapolis, we just had Joe Bates, his going away show.
Yeah,
he left. Trent Mabry, he won Indianapolis Funniest Comedian last year. He's leaving.
Yep.
His girlfriend, photographer, with. She's leaving.
Yep. Katie's leaving. Yeah.
I should probably say his girlfriend's name. I just blanked, but we'll add it in. It'll just be like a robot's voice.
Madeline. I don't know her.
Madeline.
Does she go by Madeline? Or
Madeline. Maddie Shira.
Yeah.
That's actually
who I don't really know her, but yeah, she seems nice.
She's sweet. They're all leaving, and they were important in the scene. And, in the scene, you weren't as important, but you did some. I'm just kidding. You were a big pillar in the scene, like a gatekeeper, a person that booked a lot of shows and had your thumb on the scene and really knowing what was going on, knowing the up and coming comics. And so it's crazy to have someone that's done so much for the scene, depart, which is crazy, because it becomes like a mystery, like. Why are they going? Like, what's happening? What's happening in Indianapolis? Is Indianapolis just sick? And like, there's no growth, or you know,
it's one of those things that we're just a market that doesn't
dog bark. Yeah,
we're just a market that doesn't provide a lot of longevity, you know. And I did my best to contribute to that changing, and I will, you know, take a lot of pride, because 10 years ago, the city comedy scene was completely different than it is now. And not that we're an amazing scene now, but I mean, we were a shitty scene.
Okay.
We were a shitty scene before. And so I do take some pride, you know, what we did over at the White Rabbit. And then when Cam started Rocket Ship Comedy, that really changed the way this city operates. And now we have all kinds of independent producers and we have a good comedy club. Yeah. And not to say, I mean, at times we had a, like Morty's was a good club.
Yeah.
But you know, a club that what Indianapolis really needs is it needs a place that will nurture its performers. Unfortunately, the clubs have not been able to be that. Mm. And so it had to be the independent scene that did it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, it's a tough way to go. And for me personally, you know, it's like, I'm just, you know, I took a long, hard look and I was like, well, I'm not dead yet. I'm not ready to be grandpa and just be nurturing other people to start up. I was like, I still got to run and see how far I can go. Yeah, you know,
absolutely. You're mighty talented. And I'm sure, your talent will keep taking you in different places. This is the question that people have been asking. You don't have to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is going to take over or fill your shoes?
Oh, I don't know. I hopefully no one person has to do everything I've been doing.
You don't want anybody to bear that cross.
No, I mean, because it's a fucking lot. Yeah, it's a lot. I'm going to be meeting over at the owners of the White Rabbit here this week, actually, and hashing out, because it appears that every single show that we've created together is going to continue to go, and that will each one will have a unique way it's continued, you know? So I don't know exactly yet who's going to be taking over what.
Yeah.
You know, they produce a lot of the stuff. Like I work in conjunction with them, but they can run most of that stuff, you know? Me as a producer, I think, is a little more of a loss than as a performer, because I don't even perform in all the shows I produce, you know, like a lot of them I don't, although I write for them and do different things, but there'll be a transitional phase. And then, you know, each show, I think hopefully we'll have somebody who steps up and takes on a little more responsibility for it, because we work in ensembles too. So there are other people, like, and even with the authors, for instance, I'm leaving, Joe left, but there's still so many five people. Yeah. Who have been doing this show for 7 years.
Right. Absolutely.
And so they can continue in doing it the way that it's been done and keep the relationship with the White Rabbit and keep doing some road shows and all that sort of thing. So I don't know. We'll see. And you'll also see some vultures. You'll see some people that come running around thinking that because there might be some opportunities to come pick at the bones and see what they can get going for themselves. So we'll see. I took on a lot of shows after other people, you know, Let's Make a Date that we do over there. I wasn't the original host. It was created by Matt Clemens and Jeff Oske along with us over at the White Rabbit. And they both left and then we continued doing it. And I took over as the host.
Okay. So you somebody, some shows.
Yeah. Somebody else can take that over. And even with the authors, Jim Lugers created that show and then passed.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I took over as the producer of that show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, now it's my turn to hand over some shows to other people and see how other people take the helm. And it's a little harder when you're taking over the host role of a show.
Yeah.
And I've done it, and I know how hard that is. Mm-hmm. But you have to change the vibe of the show a little bit. You can't let it be a direct comparison.
Right.
You got to add your – it's like The Tonight Show, you know? So the next person takes over, there's going to be comparison, but hopefully they're going to do it in their own way.
Right.
To where it becomes its own unique entity. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, because you can't just copy someone. And then that's actually a wise thing to say. So someone doesn't have to feel like, I have to be Isaac.
No.
I'm like, no, no one's actually going to be Isaac. And my wish for you, we'll see you on TV one day playing one of your characters – or a character that someone wrote for you.
And yeah, we'll see.
Because that'd be pretty cool, getting back on the stage.
I agree.
Well, thank you so much for doing the show. We really, I don't know why I said we, I. Well, we, all of us as listeners and talkers on the show, appreciate you coming here. Stay tuned for a commercial break. I'm just kidding. Goodbye, guys. And this has been IDK.
Woo!
I don't know it.
I don't know it.